Ezekiel chapter 11, there's a passage, and the thought I want to bring out tonight is there's a battle going on. They sang about it tonight, about the fact that we need revival. And so much is going wrong in our country. And there's so many things in our world that you and I, it seems like we're out of, the country's out of control and the world is out of control and so much is wrong. But I want to nail down one of the main issues that we have in our country that causes, and the world that causes, the problems that we have. And a lot of people say, well, it's the Democrats, or it's the Republicans, or it's the liberals, or it's this group, or the communists. Or, hey, I'm not even going to bring out that as the problem. That's not the problem. See, the problem is the battle for our minds. See, the devil, he's got a battleground. That's where he wants to hit us. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. I want to just read this one verse, verse 5. This will kick things off. And I want us to remember something, that God knows it all. Verse 5, and it says, and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak thus saith the Lord, thus have you said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. I won't stop there. I want you to understand that everything that comes into our mind, God knows. Now that's scary sometimes, because it's hard to control our mind, especially when we're bombarded by the things that this world throws against us. And the world, the Bible says that the devil, he blinds the minds. Let's turn there right quick before we pray. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read a few verses there, and then we'll begin with prayer. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Starting with verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not the light of the gospel, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you. What a great song service we've had. And we thank you for the Worsima family being with us and just lifting our spirits and praising Jesus. And Lord, we feel your spirit here with us tonight. Lord, we need your help. I need your help. This message that you have for us is a message that we need. We need to overcome. We need to know the battle. We need to know how to fight. And Lord, we can't fight without your help, without your strength. You tell us what we need. You show us what we need. You show us the dangers. Lord, we ask you to help us to overcome. Lord, keep the preacher out of the way and in your will. Let the Holy Spirit, the real preacher, preach to us tonight and touch each heart. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. as I look at this particular passage, I look at the fact that what's going on in our world today has nothing to do with what we see. It has to do with what's going on, and there's a battleground that you and I have that we don't understand. So many people in our world today are bombarded by things that they hear. Sometimes it's what we see. Sometimes it comes in through the eye gate. Sometimes it comes through the ear gate. But the situation is the devil is very subtle. And he wants to attack us. He wants our children. He wants this right up here. We keep this up here because we want to realize that we've got to reach the next generations. If we drop the next generation, guess what? The gospel dies. I'm tickled to death to see all these children, and it's exciting to know that they're being raised right and by Christian parents. And that's what it's all about, because their children, if the Lord doesn't come back in the next 50 years, their children are going to need to know the same thing that we know. But the devil's working in this passage right here. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And I've got way too many. I see way too much going on in our country today. In fact, I'll go a step farther. Our country's in trouble today because Christians have not stood up, have not been the Christians that their parents and grandparents were over the past several centuries. And what we need to do is to step it up. I love the song, "We Need Revival." Praise God, we do need revival, because that's the only thing that's going to cure this country. That's the only thing that's going to answer the questions of, I mean, think about it. We've got a homosexual running for president. And he actually is doing so much better than so many of the others. And I want you... I think back, my dad's been gone, oh, I guess 38 years this month. And I'm thinking if dad was to come back and he was to see what was going on, it would blow his mind. You've got what running for president? You've got socialists running for president. I'm not trying to get on. I'm trying to preach the truth. I'm trying to stand. We're a very strong, I don't wear this flag tie casually. Okay, I'm 100% American. I love, we do missions, but this country is the best hope for the world to reach, to be reached. Because we've sent out more missionaries and printed more Bibles than any other country, and we need to stay where we are and get closer to God.
Right.
The devil's fighting you. He's fighting me. He uses the, whether it's the music that we listen to, whether it's the video games, whether it's the internet, whether it's the people we talk to, the people we work with, the schools, whatever it is, he uses those things to destroy our lives. And I'm thinking, I look at where our country is, and it says, look at verse 4, and it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's where the battle is. Satan's not worried about blinding your eyes. In fact, he'll use your eyes. He'll draw you away from Jesus with your eyes. Because it's the trinkets and toys of this world that pull people away. But what the devil's doing is he's actually taking people and he's using their eyes, but he'll blind their mind. Blinding their mind. Casually, over the years, one of the things that has bothered me and my children understand this, my wife understands it, I had no intentions of going into the ministry. 26 years I was at the phosphate mines. But I saw our country going in a wrong direction. And all I heard, had to hear the Lord say, Brian, I want you to go after. I want you to get in my ministry. I want you to be a preacher. I want you to go to Bible college. And I said, Lord, if I do it, I'm not going to do it half-hearted. Lord, if I do it, we're going to do it right. Lord, if I do it, I got to have your help. Yesterday for the men's devotion, I used the story of Gideon. And I looked back on my messages that I've preached over the years, and I mentioned it to the men, because there, when the angel appeared to Gideon, one of the things that Gideon said after the angel said, O thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. Then Gideon says, if the Lord be with me or with us, where be all his miracles? We were still in our first building when I preached that. We hadn't paid any rent, hadn't paid any electric. That was better than 6 years ago. And I look back now and I think of the miracles that I've seen. But you know what? My God can still do more. I'm not done asking for miracles. I'm not done asking for God to do more. I mean, this building is a miracle, and I still don't get over it. I'm going to have a spell here in a minute just thinking about it, because, hey, God did something marvelous for us. But you know why? Because the devil has not blinded our minds. Because the glorious gospel of Christ has shined unto us, and we can see properly. But the people around us, the devil's got them blinded. He's got their hearts blinded. He's got their minds blinded. And what we have is nothing compared to what we could have if we can get them saved. If we can shine the light of the gospel to them. But I thought about that when I listened, because Friday night before the men's meeting, I started listening to that sermon. And it just flooded my mind how the Lord had blessed in so many ways. Many of you are miracles for our church, whether you know it or not. And what I see here is the fact that God is doing something, and he's still got people that want to watch him work. Amen. That are willing to let him use them to work. But what we have to do is to remember that our minds are still targets of the devil too. Even though we're saved. You say, how's that? Well, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, right from 2 Corinthians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 20 and 21. And it says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, he's talking to us that are saved, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Were you an enemy of God before you got saved? That's exactly what we were. Every one of us. But what happened here is the fact that God reconciled us when we got saved, when the glorious gospel of Christ shined, it peeled back the scales of our mind and opened our minds up so that we could actually see the truth. I think about it a lot of times and I get so upset over people, but you know the only thing wrong with Nancy Pelosi is she needs to get saved.
That's right.
And so many in our government, they need to get saved. Somebody dropped the ball and did not share Christ with them. I think about what would have happened if she had gone and been a bus kid as a little girl. And somebody had picked her up and brought her to church. Somebody had knocked on her door and shared Christ with her family. The reason our country's in such a shambles, we can't point to anybody else. It's the Christians' fault. It's our fault. And only we can fix it. We're the only ones. We have loved ones that we want to see saved. Hey, we'll pray, but I might not ever meet your loved one to lead them to Christ. You might be the one to have to do that. And we'll show you as best we can. Earlier this month, on a particular day that the whole world was watching a stinking ball game, we were having our Super Soul Sunday, going through the plan of salvation and sharing, teaching everybody how to use the plan of salvation to lead people to Christ. That's what we need to do. This country needs us, needs you, it needs me. And what was it? We were where they were. They've never been where we are. If they're lost, they've never been where we are. But at one point, we were where they were. We were aliens to God. We were enemies of God. Got another familiar passage. Go to Romans chapter 12. Most of you know this passage pretty well. And it helps us understand how to fix our mind. Even if we're, as Christians, we have a tendency to let the devil's crud crowd our mind. He'll pollute our mind. He'll help us say, well, I've heard people that I know were trained so much better. A young man that went off to Bible college as a young man later stated that God's not going to send anybody to hell. That hell is not real. God wants everybody in heaven. Well, part of that's true. God wants everybody in heaven. But if God wasn't going to send anybody to hell, why would Jesus die on the cross? You've taken away the reason for Christ dying on the cross. And I would have never thought this young man could have sunk that low. But the truth is, he was in the youth group with my kids. And I know what they were taught. And I taught him for a while. But people sink and they start swallowing the devil's lies and they start drinking the Kool-Aid and all this garbage that the devil puts out. But here's the solution. Look at verse 1. I know you're familiar with it, most of you. It says, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm going to break that down a minute. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. God's not asking you to die for Him. He's just wanting you to live for Him. And this church has been real good to me. Come my birthday or Christmas, I get some presents. But you know what? That's what God's asking for us. He's saying, don't just give me a present your body. I want you to be my present. I want you to be the present you give me. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And look at what it says. It says, and holy. It says, it's a living sacrifice, holy. That means clean. How many of you like to drink out of a dirty glass? You go to a restaurant and you find crud stuck on your plate. Old, build-up crud. Got a nasty, dirty fork. None of us want to do that. God doesn't either. He wants something clean to use. Look at the next statement. It says, acceptable unto God. Now that term acceptable means what? There are some things that are unacceptable to Him. I hear people say, well, I'm going to give God what I want to give Him. That's what Cain tried to do and it didn't work out too well. We need to make sure what we're doing is acceptable to God. The way we do it is acceptable to God. If we work on that, that'll help keep the devil at bay. Look at what else it says. Which is your unreasonable service? No, it says reasonable service. God's not asking anything unreasonable of us. But the next part says, and be not conformed to this world. Now, here we go. Be not conformed to the world. Don't be like the world. Don't think like the world. Don't talk like the world. Don't smell like the world. Don't dress like the world. Don't listen to what the world's listening to. Don't be like them. It aggravates me when I hear people using slangs that I know they picked up just to fit in. I've got a southern accent for a reason, but I didn't. It was given to me by my parents. My dad was from North Carolina. Okay, but the truth is, I hear people using terms, and it's definitely not them. Why? Because they want to fit in. I see people that don't even know what a belt is. Amen. Walking around trying to hold their pants up. Guess what? Makes you want to buy suspenders, don't it? Get some cheap bungee cords and wrap around them or something, you know. But guess what? Hey, why are they doing that? To fit in. To be conformed to the world. The Bible tells us, God's telling us, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be like the world. One of the things that they taught us in Bible college, and I've tried to work on that, and I'm not trying to be like any other preacher. Now, there are things that I say that my preachers and professors trained me with, and they'll come out of me sometimes, and my parents too, by the way. But the truth is, God wants us, He wants us each one to be our own person. He made us special. He made us individuals. You've got likes and dislikes. You've got talents and you've got weaknesses. And God wants you to use them. He doesn't want you to be conformed to anybody else. He wants you to be you. That's how He made you. That's why He made you the way He did. But look at what it says. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now look at what it's, how are you going to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. There we go again. That mind, a long time ago, I heard a preacher say, belief determines behavior.
Amen.
What you believe is going to be, it's going to determine the way you live. You might get away with it for a little while, but you can't think wrong and live right for very long. If you get the thinking straight, get your mind straight, get into God's Word, let it apply, get it inside of you, it'll change your behavior if you really believe what God says. It says, be not conformed to this world. This world's going to hell. It is going to burn up. One of these days, that's what's going to happen. And who is it we were reading a while ago? Who's the God of this world? It's the devil. Satan is the God of this world. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when your mind is renewed, what happens? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This morning we were talking about David. We were going through, in Sunday school, we were going through 1 Samuel. And we were in chapter 23. And it was David talking to the Lord and trying to get the mind of the Lord on how to stay ahead of Saul. Because Saul was hunting him down. And what David was doing is he'd get along with the Lord and he'd ask the Lord. And the Lord would answer him, say, you don't need to stay here. You need to move. Saul's coming down after you. Hey, that's what we need. It says, what, and like this, there's that word again, by the way, acceptable. Twice in two verses, that word's found. Your body's a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then it goes on to say that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. First, it's talking about your bodies being acceptable to God. Then it's talking about following the acceptable will of God. God's got a plan for us. Got a plan for every one of us, but the devil does too. And the battleground for you, for me, for the lost world, for everybody, is our mind.
Right.
That's where the devil wants to get in. And these children, they are extremely susceptible. And you have to, parents have to be very, very cautious about what they let their children listen to, what they let their children see, the things that they're the people that their children are around, because it influences them, and the devil's out to get them. He's out to destroy them. And the sooner you can get them under the gospel of Christ, the better. And the more you can get them under the gospel of Christ and under Bible preaching, the better. But don't think that the devil's not trying. Remember the verse we started with, God knows everything that goes in our mind. Every single one. And it's hard. Preacher, you know how hard it is? Absolutely, I know how hard it is. Because the flesh likes to think the wrong things. The flesh likes to go the wrong way. You've got the same problem I do. And we're all struggling with it. Praise God. They were singing about Beulah Land a while ago. Praise God. I'm looking forward to Beulah Land.
Amen.
Won't have that fight anymore with the sorry stinking flesh. But in the meantime, the devil's after you. He's after me. He's after the children. He's after our neighbors. He's after our friends. He's after our family. Hey, guess what? We can't stop. We can't let up or back up or shut up. We've got to speak up and stand up and let people know that the devil's a liar. And there's a hell coming. And we got to warn them. There are some people I was watching a little bit this week, and I'm just about done. I saw a documentary on TV. I was out sick this week, and I watched a documentary on the Ark Encounter. And I love what they've done up there in Kentucky for the Ark Encounter. But then they were given the atheist group actually a better take on things than anybody else. And they were talking about these free thinkers. And I'm sitting there thinking, they're not free thinkers. They're thinking what the devil wants them to think. Because the devil's got their minds blinded. You and I, we know better. We know the truth. We believe the Bible. We know that Jesus is the only hope for any of us, for this world, this country. And it's our job to make sure our gospel's not hid. That's why we've got the track rack out there. That's why we knock doors. That's why we brought a bus in. That's why we're here. I'll be honest with you. I think that's why the Lord has blessed us. Because we're not going to stop trying to win people to Christ. The only people we've run into, one time in 6.5 years, we ran into another church in Bartow. And they weren't actually from Bartow. That was a Baptist church that was soul winning. And they were a Spanish group. The rest of the time we run into the cults.
Right.
And there's 65 churches in Bartow. And that was why I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, you want us to start a church in Bartow? You know how many Baptist churches there are in Bartow? And you know what he told me? I want you to start a church in Bartow. And that's what it's all about. We got to do it His way.
Amen.
We've got to do it His way. He didn't argue with me. He just said, this is what I want. You know what my response was supposed to be? And it was, okay, Lord, that's what you want. And here we are. Not because of me. I just decided to get involved in what Jesus was doing. But we've got to make sure that the minds of those around us, we can reveal the light of the gospel to them. It weighs heavy on me. I see all these kids around our church, around Bartow. Let's be the church that the Lord wants us to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, I thank you for the glorious gospel of Christ. I thank you, Lord, for being so good to me, being so good to our church. Lord, we just ask you to help us reach those around us whose minds have been blinded. And Lord, somehow, some way, Lord, we need your help. We've got to have your help. You're the only one that can unblind their minds, that open their minds, that can peel back the scales and let them see that glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Use the invitation for your glory and our good. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, Lord, don't let them leave that way. Let them come to the altar. Let them beg Jesus to forgive them and save them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.